Welcome everyone to our Sunday night service here at Calvary Baptist Church. And I want to say thank you for tuning in as you do regularly. And we hope you've had a good day today. I know it is Super Bowl Sunday, but we appreciate you tuning in with us for the next few minutes. And we've got something we want to share tonight. We feel the Lord has put on our heart for this hour, and we hope it'll be a blessing to you. And this morning we had a good service. We had some more people here with us than normally. And so we appreciate the good crowd that the Lord allowed us to have this morning. And had a visitor here. And so to God be the glory for that. But this morning we mentioned some things about the three stages of the Lord's life. And we used that in parallel form with our life as believers. We know that there was the silent stage, that's when he was born, all the way up to the age of 30. There was the servant stage, and then there was a sacrificial stage. And so we hope that there was something said this morning that was a blessing to you in your life. And appreciate the choir this morning doing a great job, and appreciate everyone that came. And again, thank you for your faithfulness tuning in each and every service that we have. And Lord appreciates it, I know, and of course we do too. And we just hope that you receive a blessing by viewing us tonight. And let's remember everyone on our prayer list. Let's also remember Brother James Townsend in our prayers, and Miss Shirley Townsend. Miss Shirley goes, I believe, in about a week for another PET scan to see where she's at with her cancer spot on her lung. So, church, let's remember Miss Shirley. But then Brother James, he's going to go, I believe, Tuesday to have his heart checked out. And so let's remember Brother James in our prayers. Let's remember each and every person on our prayer list bring those folks up to the Lord in prayer every time we pray. And that'll be a blessing if we can do that each and every day. We're going to pray at this time, and we're going to get right into the message, and then we'll give a brief invitation. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for who you are and for what you do. Father, tonight we are humbled at the opportunity to stand one more time and proclaim your word. We do not take it for granted, nor do we take it lightly. Lord, I pray that you'd help us and use us to be a blessing to your people. And Father, we pray for Miss Shirley and her upcoming appointment and scan. We pray for Brother James as well and his appointment. We pray, dear Lord, for all of those who have appointments, who's in the doctor, who's in the hospital, who's at home, those who have had COVID, those who are recovering from COVID. We pray, Lord, that you'd strengthen them and be with them. And again, Father, be with our nation. Be with the new administration as well. We love you tonight. We thank you. We need you. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Tonight, we're going to dive right into the message. It's just me and Christy and Lily tonight. And so we use a little bit of our audio on our phone to bring some instrumental. But anyway, it's us tonight, and so that's why we're diving right into the message. And tonight I want to talk to you on the subject of the Christian's responsibility in light of the Lord's return. We all believe what the Bible says, that the Lord is coming back. And we know that the Lord's second return is in two phases. Number one, he is coming for his church. That is, those who have by faith and repentance accepted Jesus as Savior. You're part of the church, the body of Christ. So he's coming for us. But then the second part of the Lord's return, second return, is that he's coming with his church. Coming with his church. And so that is the Lord's second return. He came the first time as a lowly lamb. And we mentioned some things about that this morning. Born and placed in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. But now he's coming back as ruling king. And we are looking for the Lord's return tonight. We welcome his return tonight. I'm sure that I'm preaching to those who would welcome his return. We've been through so much in America and in our own lives personally through this pandemic and through just personal situations, physical elements, and I know for sure that much of us are ready for the Lord's return. So we welcome his return tonight, and so that we will forever be with the Lord. I want to mention some things that surround this subject of the Christian's responsibilities in light of the Lord's return. Number one, I want to say that one of our responsibilities is to watch and wait for the Lord, or to watch and wait for the Savior. Matthew 24 and verse number 42, notice what the scriptures say. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. He says to watch. Now, the word watch here, it means to be alert. It means looking. It means to expect. It means to live like Jesus is coming immediately. And the truth be known, truth be told, Jesus could come immediately. As far as I know, and as far as I know about the Bible and Revelations, all of the revelations have been fulfilled, prophecies have been fulfilled, and so the last part of it is we're waiting for our departure, the Lord's return, for him to come get us. And so we're to wait, and we're to watch for the Savior. We're to be alert, and we're to be looking and expecting his return. The believer is instructed tonight to look for the blessed hope. Titus says in Titus chapter number 2 and verse number 13, he says, looking for that blessed hope in the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we know that the Lord is coming again, and we're to watch and we're to wait for him. He's our blessed hope tonight. It's not a hope so, but it's a so hope. We know he's coming. It's a confident expectation. And so therefore, he is our blessed hope. And we welcome his return tonight. Also, when it comes to this matter of watching and waiting for the Lord's return, in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, in verse number 10, speaks about that. I want you to notice in 1 Thessalonians, verse number 1, or chapter 1, I'm sorry, verse number 10. The Bible says, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So Paul here speaks about the Lord's return. Not only we're to watch, as Matthew said, but now Paul says we're to wait. We're in a waiting phase right now. But the Lord will come from heaven, as Paul says here, and we are safe from the wrath to come. Now, we do believe that. The Christian is, by no stretch of the imagination, in no wise, going through any part of the seven-year tribulation. That is the wrath that's coming, that's going to be poured out on man. But those of us that are saved, we are safe from the wrath to come. In fact, we will be raptured out of here even before the revealing of the Antichrist. And so we're rejoicing in that fact, that we're going to be gone before any wrath of the Lord comes. And so we're called upon to wait for the Lord's return, called upon to watch for the Lord's return. And then in the book of Romans, chapter number 8, in verse 23, Paul speaks about when the Lord returns, there will be a redemption of our bodies. And he tells us in that verse, we are waiting for the redemption of our bodies. In that same chapter, in the chapter, Romans chapter number 8, If we back up and read, look at the verse number 19, we see that not only man or we are waiting for the redemption of our bodies, but creation is waiting also for the curse to be lifted. When I think about creation tonight, I think about how that there's thorns and there's thistles. I think about how that in creation, plant life dies. The trees, all of those plant lives that make up the plant creation, all of those things die off. And the reason for that is because of the curse. This all started back in the book of Genesis. After Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, the Lord had some curse words. He said, cursed be the ground, and cursed be this, and cursed be that. You see, there is a curse upon this world because of man's original sin. But when the Lord returns, there is going to be a lifted curse. The Lord will lift that curse, and we'll have a new heaven and a new earth. And so we're to watch and we're to wait for the Savior this evening. And that's the first responsibility of the Christian in light of the Lord's return, watching and waiting. Number two tonight, the second responsibility of the Christian in light of the Lord's return, we are to warn the sinner. Warn the sinner. Meaning we are to warn those who do not know Christ that Jesus is indeed coming. In the book of Joel, chapter number 2, listen to this in verse number 1. Joel says, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Now this is the Old Testament prophet Joel, but yet Joel is preaching about the future wrath of God. And he tells us that we are to warn people. He uses this idea of a trumpet here. He says, blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Trumpets were used in many different forms in the Bible. One way trumpets were used, it was the call for public assembly. A trumpet was blown, and then people in the area would know it's time to gather. Well, we know that when the Lord returns, there's going to be a trumpet blown, and we will gather unto him. But also, a trumpet is used to sound alarm. A trumpet was used to sound alarm, and there would be great fear to those who heard that trumpet in that particular sound. Well, we, the church tonight, are to lift up our voices as a trumpet and make known to this lost and dying world that Jesus is coming. And so Joel says this, but not only Joel, but I like what Isaiah says in Isaiah 58 in verse number 1. In essence, Isaiah says this. He says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. I like what Isaiah says because he says that we are to cry aloud and spare not. Don't hold back. Listen, tonight the truth is the truth. And we are to still preach God's word, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. We're to still call sin, sin. Not blunders or mistakes, but sin is sin tonight. We're to spare not, not hold back, but call it for what it is. It's transgression against God. It's offense towards God. And this lost and dying world needs to know that they have trespassed against God's holy standards. And because of that, they need to be redeemed. And we're to spare not, but cry aloud. We preached about and mentioned this morning that of John the Baptist, and how that John, he came out of the desert, and he had all those crazy clothes, and you know, the camel's hair, and he was eating wild locusts. And the Bible says he was the voice of one. But John was not afraid to preach God's word. He came out of the wilderness and said, make straight paths for the Lord. In other words, get yourself right because the Lamb of God is coming. And tonight we need to do that. Not just preachers and pastors, not just teachers and deacons, but every person who makes up the body of Christ, we are all His witnesses. We are all to lift up our voices like a trumpet. Spare not, cry aloud and say that Jesus is coming. You need to be saved. Well, we see that we are to warn the sinner. And of course, I like what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Listen to this in verse number 1 and a couple more verses that follow. In 2 Timothy chapter number 4, in verse number 1, Paul is telling young Timothy in these verses to preach the word. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, when you feel like it, when you don't feel like it. When it's convenient, when it's not convenient. In season, out of season, he says, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. And so Paul, the aged man of God, tells young Timothy, Timothy, there is coming a time, and this next verse is what he's getting at. There's coming a time when they're not going to endure sound doctrine, he says, but still preach the word. Still lift up thy voice like a trumpet and make it known that Jesus saves. Verse number 3, he says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Paul says there's coming a time when the folks in this world is not going to listen to God's word. They're not going to accept the gospel message. And they're not going to accept the fact that they're sinners and separated from God and that they need to be born again. We're living in a time tonight where everybody thinks that they're okay. We're living in a time tonight where this world is calling wrong right. Remember in the closing days of the book of Judges? There's that familiar phrase, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Are we not living in those days? We are living in the days where abortion is okay. We're living in the days where gay and lesbianism is okay. Transgender, bisexual, and all of that is okay. We're living in the days where it's okay to lie. It's okay to have this other agenda. We're learning that greatly from the politics and politicians, aren't we? But listen tonight, it's not okay. That's why the church of God, we're called upon to lift up our voices like a trumpet and let it be sounded that Jesus is coming and that you are a sinner in need of salvation. We cannot save ourselves by good works. Tonight we see that Paul says to Timothy, he charges him to preach the word back in verse number 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, they don't want to hear the truth of God's word, which can be offensive, but they want to hear those messages that tickle their ears, and it sounds good going in. Sounds good going in. I'm okay. There's nothing wrong with the way I'm living. There's nothing wrong with my lifestyle. The Bible says that we are living in those days, and the closer and closer we get to the Lord's return, the more and more people are going to gravitate toward that kind of message. Is that of, you are okay. You're not you're okay. Your lifestyle's okay. You don't have to hold yourself accountable. But Paul tells Timothy to preach the word. Call it like it is. Preach the gospel straight and preach the gospel accurately. So Paul tells him to preach the word. Tonight, all of us as God's people are to warn the sinner of the Lord's return. I remember listening to a message one time by Percy Ray, called The Red Light of Hell. And he got up and he preached, talking about the red lights of hell, or in the lake of fire and all of those things. And you could hear, it was an old audio tape, and you can hear in the background people screaming and people crying. And I've heard by many people that during that message and that service that possibly hundreds of people got saved. He was doing his job by lifting his voice like a trumpet and preaching. Hell is a real place as much as heaven is. I like the old saying, and it's a very good one. For the lost person, this world is the only heaven they'll ever see. And for the saved person, this world is the only hell we will ever see. There's a lot of truth to that. And so we're to warn the sinner. But number three tonight, the Christian's responsibility in light of the Lord's return, we are to work with the saints. We're to keep on laboring until Jesus comes. The Bible teaches us that we as Christians are laborers together with God. 1 Corinthians 3:9, you can look it up. But we are laborers together with the Lord. Now, I know we're going through a pandemic time, but this is when we're to be creative and learn of different ways to serve the Lord together. And no doubt, Facebook Live, we're staying connected that way. And I see some of you, how you share the services that are coming up and how you share the actual services on your Facebook page. And we appreciate that. We are being laborers together, even during a pandemic time. So we're laborers together. We're to work with the saints till Jesus comes. We are to win souls. We're to build the church, exhort one another, lift up the Lord tonight in spite of our current situations that we're facing. You know, the Lord knew all about this that we're going through now. And you know, the service of the Lord, us laboring together, that doesn't mean that we're to stop that work. But we're to be creative, and we're to still labor together. He knew about it, and we're now going through it. But we're to labor together. Be creative at such a time as this. Now, in the book of Philippians, chapter number 1, Paul speaks of there being a unity in the church when it comes to working with the saints. There's to be unity. Notice verse number 27 of Philippians chapter number 1. He says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs." Now listen to this. "That ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." He says, stand fast in one spirit. One spirit. He gives emphasis on being one together and serving together. Why is that? Well, because Satan is out there. He definitely tries to get into the church and cause division. Satan uses division and strife to keep churches from working together to win people to the Lord. So the devil wants to divide the church while we're here. But we're to be unified while we're here. And I'm glad the Calvary Baptist Church is a unified church. We all work very well together, and whether it's our ministry of Calvary's Children's Home and their operation and what they're doing, or whether it's dealing with Calvary Baptist Church within itself and what we're doing. We all communicate and we all work together so that the Lord may be glorified. But the devil would love nothing more to get right in the middle of a church and try to divide things. He does that many times. So therefore, we are to stand fast. We are to stay unified. So tonight, we are to work with the saints when it comes to the Lord's return is a part of our responsibility. Let me mention something else. We are to walk by the scriptures. Walk by the scriptures as a Christian responsibility. The Christian must walk in the light of the scriptures, which simply means this. It means to walk wholly in Christ-like and in obedience to the Word of God. You can go back and read about that in 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 7, how that we are to walk in the light as He is in the light. We're to walk in the light of God's Word. Again, that's what David said in Psalm 119. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my pathway. We must have a testimony that our light shines for Jesus. In light of the coming of the Lord Jesus, we as God's people must walk as children of light. Listen to this. Remember Enoch in the Old Testament? Enoch, the Bible says, walked with God. But Enoch is a picture of the rapture of the church, because he was translated up into heaven and he did not see death. That's in Genesis 5, 22 through 24. Enoch lived as Noah did. Enoch lived in dark and very sinful days prior to the flood. He had a testimony that he pleased the Lord. And Enoch was faithful to God. Enoch found, as Noah did, grace to serve the Lord in those evil days. And there came a time when the Lord just translated him, raptured him to heaven. We are living in such a day as in Enoch's day, where it's very dark and very sinful, and people have their own sinful agendas and all of those things. But while we're here, and while we're watching and waiting for the Lord's return, we are to walk by the scriptures, walk in the light of God's word as those did down through time. So we see here that we are to walk by the scriptures. Let me mention a few other things that we're to walk in and walk by. Tonight, while we're waiting on the Lord, we are to walk in love. Ephesians 5:2. We are to walk circumspectly or walk carefully. Ephesians 5:15. Walk wisely and with caution, that is, circumspectly. If there's something that is in our life, or if there's something that is in our pathway on a daily basis and it causes us to stray or to slip or get our eyes off the Lord, then we are to get that out of our pathway. Because we're to be people who are sober-minded until Jesus comes. We're to be people who understand what the will of the Lord is. We're to be people who walk circumspectly or carefully, wisely, and with caution. Another way we're to walk tonight, we are to not walk after the lust of the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. Romans 8 and Galatians 5 gives us the verses on that. We're to not fulfill the lust of the flesh, but we're to give ourselves to the Holy Spirit each and every day until Jesus comes. You know, I believe we all come to the place in life as believers when there's times we try to lean on the arm of the flesh and say, oh, we can get it done ourselves. Oh, we don't need to spend all this time doing that. We can get it done ourselves. But we all learn in time that the arm of the flesh will fail you every time or eventually. You know, that's what Paul struggled with. In Romans chapter number 7, he was a saved man, of course, here, but he talked about that inward battle. He talked about that struggle. He said, when I go to do good, I find that evil is present with me. He says, the things that I don't want to do, I do. And the things that I don't want to do, I do. And the things, you know, so forth and so on. He talked about that inward struggle in Romans 7. But he concludes that chapter. He says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank the Lord Jesus Christ, that I can serve him. And so what a blessing tonight it is to walk in the Spirit and allow the Lord to fight our battles. Tonight we are to walk by the Scriptures. And under that point, walk in love, walk circumspectly, and walk in the Spirit. Let me mention one more thing. We are to worship the Savior. We're to worship the Savior. That is, until the Savior comes, we're to worship him. The church is to be occupied with praising the Lord and giving him honor each and every day. We're to worship the Lord with our lips, is what Hebrews 13:15 says. With our lips, we should lift up praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. Let us offer him the sacrifice of praise. He goes on in that verse and says that it is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. But not only are we to worship the Lord with our lips, but we're to worship the Lord with our lives. Not only say we love Jesus, not only say he's been good to us, but we're to also live a life that is complete with the words that we say. We are to worship the Lord with our lips and with our lives. The early church worshiped the Lord together, Acts chapter number 2. And so we're to continue to worship the Lord together. And I know, again, we have this thing where many are staying home, and we understand that some have to stay home and protect themselves. We are very, very respectful of that. We know a lot of people who've been suffering with COVID and different things, different kind of sicknesses. But there are some who could come, and that's what worries me about some. There's those who want to be here but can't be here because they're subject to get COVID, but then there's others who could be here but that are not here. But nonetheless, we have found a way to worship the Lord in person and Facebook Live. And what a blessing it is to still, even though we're going through what we're going through, as a people, as a nation, we can still worship the Savior until Jesus comes. The church must continue to worship together until he returns. 1 Thessalonians 5, in verse number 16, it is a command to rejoice in the Lord. Then lastly, Psalm 150, the psalmist commanded, for everything that hath breath to praise the Lord. Tonight, church, whether we're watching on Facebook or whether we're in person, let us praise the Lord. Let us praise the Lord. Till Jesus comes, let us praise the Lord. Until Jesus comes, let us walk by the Scriptures in the light of his word. Till Jesus comes, let us work with the saints. Whatever creative way we can do that in the day and time in which we live. Let us, till Jesus comes, warn sinners of his return. Let us sound the trumpet and spare not. Tell people there's a real heaven to gain and a real hell to shun. And then again, we are to keep on watching and waiting for our Savior to return tonight. That is our blessed hope. Tonight we are looking and longing for the time to come when he comes and redeems us from this old corruptible world, and then we will forever be with the Lord. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you, we praise you for who you are and for what you do. Pray in the next few moments, Lord, as we give this invitation, that people would pray in their homes if they need to pray. And we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need to pray tonight, you can pray. Jesus is coming. Let us be busy. Let us redeem the time. you need to pray tonight, start your week off the right way, pray. Ask God to help you through your struggles. He'll do it. He'll lead, He'll guide, He'll provide. Let us wait and watch for Him until He comes. Let us warn the lost, walk in the Scriptures, and rejoice. He will come. Amen. That'll be enough music for tonight, enough instrumental. And we want to thank you for watching this evening, and we hope that you received something from the message tonight. We pray that you all have a great, wonderful week this week, and the good Lord willing, we will be back live on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. God bless you all. We love you, and have a great week.